had spread, and many people were looking to Jesus as the Messiah and as their king. The Jewish leaders, however, they had a different reaction to the miracle and to the growing popularity of Jesus. We read in John 11 that they called an emergency meeting. All right, now, I mean an emergency meeting of the Sanhedrin, who were the Jewish ruling body, and they said, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and they will come after him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And the high priest and the leaders decided that it was in their best interest to kill this man, Jesus, rather than let him ruin everything that they had cherished and everything they had worked for. So the scripture says, so from that time on, that is, the Jewish leaders plotted to take his life. Well, saints, after 3 years of rebuking and teaching and healing and leading and caring and preaching, Jesus' ministry had come to a boiling point. There were those who loved him and they wanted to follow him. And there were those who hated him and they wanted to kill him. And everyone, regardless of which side they stood on, they knew something was about to happen. All right, they knew something was fixing to happen. You ever get them? You know something fixing to happen. They wasn't quite sure what it was going to be, but something was fixing to happen. The clock was ticking and the time was now at hand. But that's, hallelujah, praise God, what is happening. And Jesus is spending time with, and he's having a meal with his closest and dearest friends before that final week. Spiritual friendship, spiritual accountability are spiritual disciplines. Everybody say spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines that we have been focusing in on in our spiritual journey group that we have here every third Friday. And here is Jesus living out these spiritual disciplines. He's spending time with, he's having a meal with his closest and dearest friends before his final week begins. And they here are reclined at the table. And actually, saints, it's like three tables arranged. And they're arranged in a horseshoe-like shape. And so we have these tables, and they are reclining at the table. Basically, they would lean on their right elbow, and they would eat with their left hand. So as a right-handed person, I think I would be more apt to lean on my left elbow and eat with my right hand. But they generally leaned on their right arm, and their feet would be pointing away from the table. Well, Martha, she was serving from the middle of this horseshoe. So she would walk into the horseshoe. How many would want to be there just to eat her cooking? We didn't heard about her cooking. All right, she's like some of the cooks we got here. So she would be in the middle of the horseshoe serving. Amen. All right, so while she's serving and they're reclining at the table, Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, she broke open an alabaster jar. Now, this jar was a thick, porous kind of jar with sides that wouldn't let the fluid seep out. And she took that perfume, she broke that jar, she walked over to Jesus, and she poured it all on his feet. Oh, hallelujah. And then scripture says she anointed his feet, and she took her hair, and she dried his feet. Now, Judas, who knew the price of everything, but really the value of nothing, amen, seeing what Mary had done and smelling the beautiful, expensive perfume, he says, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth at least a year's wages. Ooh, now that was some expensive perfume. I mean, that's even more than what's down at the May Company. That's some expensive perfume, a year's wage. And the disciples, they joined in agreement. Scripture says they joined in, according to the other gospel accounts. Not only was it decision-making time for the Jewish leader, saints, who were plotting to kill Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests. It was decision time for all of them. It was also decision-making time in this very room that very night that was filled with perfume. Now, the reactions and actions taken that night as they reclined at the table will reveal just what they really thought of Jesus and what he was really worth to them. Today, as we look at their decision time, Judas's, the disciples, and Mary, we will come to understand, saints, that it is also decision time right now, right here in this room today. Just really, who is Jesus to us, saints? How much is Jesus really worth to us? And regardless of what we say, it is our response to Christ, it is our actions for Christ that will reveal the true answer. Hallelujah. Now, looking at our sermon note sheet together, let's read our first point together. Number one, as Judas reclined at the table, sharing in a meal given to honor Jesus, his response to Jesus was one of complete rejection. Perhaps Judas didn't even see Mary enter the room. Maybe he didn't see Mary kneel at Jesus' feet. But as soon as Mary broke open that jar, filling the room with that beautiful aroma, Judas quickly turned his head. All right, that got his attention. And when he did, he couldn't believe his eyes. He smelled that perfume. He couldn't believe his eyes. Mary was over there pouring that expensive perfume on Jesus' feet, a year's wages. And Judas, he started staring and glaring at Mary as his mind began to roll as he thought of all the things he could have bought with that money. Oh, my goodness. Oh, if he had just been able to sell that perfume. And he got mad. He got so angry. My friend, have you ever caught someone staring at you? You know, whenever someone stares at us, it does make us feel uncomfortable, amen? I think when ladies, when we see somebody staring at us, we look and see if our slip is showing. And I guess guys, if somebody's staring at you, you might want to make sure your fly is zipped up, you know? And then I think, well, is something hanging out my nose? Or is my hair sticking one way? And no, you know, we just begin wondering, what are they looking at? And we just get all uncomfortable because staring makes us uncomfortable. Our parents, remember, they told us, don't stare. And then we would say, look. They say, no, don't point. You know, don't stare, don't point. Amen? Amen. Because staring and pointing makes others uneasy. Well, have you ever stood alone, my friend, and felt that everyone is against you? Have you ever been in a situation where in your own mind you felt that you were being falsely accused? Have you been standing alone, saints? Because standing alone can be a very painful thing. Standing alone can be a very terrible thing. It could be a humiliating thing. It can be embarrassing. We can feel awkward sometimes when we are standing alone. But saints, as Christians, be assured that you are never, ever standing alone. Praise your name, Lord Jesus, because Jesus promised never to leave us, never to leave us alone. So Jesus is where our focus must stay. Amen and amen. Now, Mary could have said to Judas as he was staring and glaring at her, she could have said, what you looking at? Okay, now when we say that, we usually add something like this to it. What you looking at? She could have said that to, we all know it's not proper grammar. It drives teachers crazy. What you looking at? But you know what? When we are asking that, we're really saying, you better back off. You better go somewhere. That's what we say. What you looking at? That's what we really mean. Looking at our text, doesn't Mary respond to Jesus with, what you looking at? No, because her focus wasn't on Judas. Her focus was on Jesus, saints. Who was Mary looking at? She was looking at a Savior who loved her with an everlasting love. Who was she looking at? She was looking at a Savior who loved her unconditionally. Who was Mary looking at? She was looking at a God who can take stumbling blocks in our lives and turn them into stepping stones. Hallelujah. That's who she was looking at. Who was Mary looking at? She was looking at a God who can take our handicaps. We all got some handicaps. And God can turn those handicaps into handrails. Hey, amen. We can pull ourselves up. Who was Mary looking at? She was looking at a God who could take our troubles, hallelujah, and turn them into triumph. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, who was Mary looking at? She was looking at a God who can take our inabilities and turn them into initiatives. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I want to ask you today, my friend, who are you looking at? Who are you looking at? High five your neighbor, please, and encourage them. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus. Oh, my friend, Jesus will be able to dispel your doubts and calm your fears. Keep looking at Jesus. Keep looking at Jesus, because he'll be able to take your passions. And he'll be able to renew your hope where you felt hopeless. Hallelujah. Keep looking at Jesus, my friend. And he'll be able to take your despair and turn it into joy. Hallelujah. I don't know who you're looking at today, but I'm looking at Jesus. Oh, I'm looking at Jesus. Jesus said, just keep your mind stayed on me. Hallelujah. I want Jesus to keep looking after me. How about you? I want Jesus to keep looking out for me. I want Jesus to keep looking out for me. Hallelujah. I want Jesus to keep looking at me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Jesus said, I will always be with you, and I will pray, and I'll make a way for you. Well, Saints, Mary, here she was, not looking at Judas. She was looking at Jesus. But Judas wasn't looking at Jesus. Judas was looking at Mary, and he shouted, why this waste? He said, Mary, why are you wasting this perfume? And Jesus, why are you letting her waste that perfume? We could have sold it and given so much money to the poor. Well, saints, why did Judas respond this way? Why did he think what Mary had did was such a waste? Well, let's note, amen, that Judas was not really concerned about the poor. Let's just be clear on that. John was the last to write his gospel. And by the time John wrote, everyone knew just what kind of man Judas was. So John informs the readers that Judas, who was their treasurer, he wasn't worried about the poor, really. But he was hoping to take the money and put it in various pockets, you know, for himself. Because John says he was a thief. He was a thief. Somewhere, saints, during the years that Judas spent time with Jesus, we cannot pinpoint. The scholars have tried. And perhaps it's like a gradual thing that happened. But one thing we do know, and it did happen, the plain and ugly truth is Judas gave up on Jesus. Judas, somewhere along the line, he gave up on Jesus. Now, there's been much speculation over the years why Judas rejected Jesus. But, saints, I think Judas rejected Jesus for the same reason the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus. He was not the Messiah that they wanted. And since he wasn't the Messiah they wanted, he possibly couldn't be the Messiah in their eyes. Judas was looking for an earthly kingdom, and Judas was hungering for power, that one day he would have the treasure of treasures, all right? He would be the treasurer of the new Jewish world empire. But as the time moved on, Judas spent more and more time with Jesus, and it became clear to him that Judas's dreams would never come true. Jesus would never overthrow the Roman Empire, and Judas would never have the wealth and the power that he so craved. And as he sat at that meal that night, he had already begun making a deal with the Jewish leaders for the betrayal of Jesus. So when Judas saw all that money being thrown away at the feet of Jesus, he was furious. Why waste so much money on Jesus? On just a man? Judas was right. Judas's response to Jesus was complete rejection. To him, what Mary did was a complete waste because Jesus was not worth it in the eyes of Judas. So our point is, saints, that Judas reclined at the table, sharing in a meal, giving an honor to Jesus, and his response to Jesus was one of complete rejection. All right, number two, what's our second point? Judas was not the only one in the room. The disciples were there also, and they responded to Jesus that night with moderate devotion. All right, saints, both Matthew and Luke tell us that the disciples, they also became angry. They also said, "Why this waste?" Judas sang the verse, and the disciples joined in the chorus. Hallelujah. The disciples at this time in their lives were practical men of moderate devotion. They were on again, off again, on again, off again. Their devotion was like a roller coaster, up and down. At least with Judas, you knew where he stood, okay? But with these guys, the disciples, sometimes they was in, sometimes out, sometimes they was making good choices, sometimes not. We were just wondering what they really were thinking. So they said the same thing Judas said. Why this waste? But they said it for different reasons. Judas said because he already rejected Jesus flat out. And now he just wanted to get all the money he could to put it in his pocket before this sinking ship went down. The disciples, on the other hand, saints, said it was a waste because they thought they were being very practical. And they believed they had a good reason to act and respond as they did. You see, their devotion to Jesus was moderate at best. They were basically saying, let's honor Jesus, but let's don't get silly about it. They were basically saying, let's anoint Jesus, but you know what? Let's don't use expensive perfume to anoint him. They said, well, let's serve Jesus, but let's don't get crazy about it. That's what they basically were saying. And saints, the church has far too many like the disciples who respond to Jesus with moderate devotion. And when they see true devotion, they don't even understand. And they too shout, why the waste? Why the waste? They say, you mean you gave up that job promotion that would have doubled your salary? You gave up that because you thought it was going to take you away from your church too much? Are you crazy? Why, that's just a waste. You could have got that money, and it could have bought you so many things. And look, you turned it down so you would still have time for the church. You're nuts. You mean you bought a new TV, and you gave it to the church? You should have bought that new TV for yourself and gave the church your old TV that has the knobs all missing and the remote is gone. It would still been okay. They wouldn't care if you gave them your old raggedy TV. You should have bought the new one for yourself. They know an old one is better than nothing. And some saints within the church can be heard saying, I'm just not going to let the church take up too much of my life, you know. I'll go sometime, but listen here, girlfriend, listen here, man. I'm not going to get silly about it. Some sing and then they say, come on now, yeah, we all love Jesus, but let's not get crazy. Let's not get fanatical about Jesus. Let's don't take this thing too far. Come on now. Saints, Jesus in Revelations 3, 15 and 16 is talking about a group of people just like that, of moderate devotion. They live in a place called Laodicea. And here's what Jesus says to them. Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either, that you were one of the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Saints, to live in Laodicea is to only go part the way. We go a little way, but we ain't going the whole way. And if we try to do it like that, Jesus may just spit us right out of his mouth. So some, like Judas, respond with to Jesus with complete rejection. Jesus is not what they want, so absolutely no bones about it. You know, no, Jesus, no. Others are like the disciples, and they respond with moderate devotion. They're like lukewarm, and they're like half-hearted. And then secondly, we see Judas was not the only one in the room. The disciples were there also, and they responded to Jesus that night with moderate devotion. Let's read the third point, saints. And then there is Mary. She was also in the room, and she responded to Jesus with utter devotion. Saints, Jesus had been trying for 3 years. He had been walking with the disciples. He'd been trying to teach them, and he'd been trying to just show them and then tell them about how his death was connected to the kingdom. But they couldn't understand it. It's hard to make sense and put all the pieces together to fit the concept of what the kingdom was supposed to be. Mary was also at the dinner, scripture says, that night, and Mary could see what Judas and the disciples could not see. Mary could see the connection between Jesus and the kingdom of God and his death on the cross. And what Mary did with that jar of perfume, it was the perfect thing to do. And as we look back on this event with the cross behind the saints, we can also see that it was the perfect thing. But Mary, she knew it then. She knew it was the perfect thing. That's why when the disciples in the room criticized her, when they started yelling, she was standing there alone by herself, and they were saying, "Why did you wait? Why? What a stupid thing to have done." Jesus says this. It's recorded in Matthew 26, 10 through 13. Jesus says to everyone in the room, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will have with you always, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Praise God, saints. Mary knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She knew what she was doing. She knew that death awaited her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She knew as he was riding into Jerusalem that next day that he was riding into his death and he would be dying for her. And Mary wanted to do something for Jesus. Hallelujah. She wanted to do something that would express her love, something that would express her devotion for him. She wanted to do something for Jesus while she still had the opportunity. Amen. And so Mary took the most expensive thing that she had. It was an alabaster jar full of expensive perfume. If you think about what you make in a year, and just imagine pouring that out. Amen. That was an expensive gift. Praise be to God. And you know what? Praise God. Why would Mary do this? Isn't it a little extreme to put a whole year's wages to pour it down on someone's dirty feet? Isn't it degrading then to go down and just wash and then use your hair to dry their feet? Saints, if Judas was right, then it would have been a waste. If Judas was right. But if Mary was right, and if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, hallelujah, he loved us so much that he put on human flesh, and he came, he lived, he suffered, he died for us, for our sins, and for the sins of the world. If Mary was right, saints, then even if she was able to go around the world and gather up all the perfumes, and all of the riches and put them in that jar, if she would have been able to do that and pour it on Jesus' feet, saints, it would have been worth it. It would have been worth it. It would have been worth it. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Saints, we cannot give too much to Jesus, for Jesus is worth it. High five your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, we can't give too much to Jesus. Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth all that we have. Jesus is worth all that we are, saints." Hallelujah. And this passage, It is such a wonderful and special passage. And we need this passage. I need this passage to often remind me of the truth of this passage. I need this passage to hold it close to my heart. I need this passage ingrained in my mind and burned into my heart that Jesus is worthy. He's worth it. Hallelujah. Jesus is worth all that I have. Jesus is worth all that I am or ever shall be. Jesus is worth it. And during those times when we as Christians, we run into difficult, tough times in our life, how many know that they come? Tough times. Jesus said, in this world you shall have troubles and you shall have tribulations. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I've overcome. But as Christians, when we're going through these things, we feel like our wheels are just spinning. We're like we're getting nowhere. We feel like people have let us down and people have disappointed us. When there's times in our lives when all the effort we seem to keep putting in and we don't see very much result coming back. When you try and try and try and you feel like you're not getting anywhere. Saints, there are days when you might feel like throwing in the towel. Anybody ever felt like that? Days when you feel like just dropping out of the race. Days when you feel abused even. Days when you feel unappreciated. I want you to remember, dear one, Jesus is worth it. Oh, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth your time. Jesus is worth your effort. Jesus is worth all the pain and frustration. Jesus is worth it. High five your neighbor right now and say, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. He's worth it. Nothing we ever do for the glory and for the honor of God and Jesus Christ is ever, ever, ever a waste. And those who are like Judas, who have just rejected Jesus, those who are like the disciples who are men and women of moderate devotion, they won't understand. And they will think that it's a waste. They'll think that it's a waste that you give so much time to the church. They're like, what? You down there again? What? You might as well make a little bed down there. You're always down there. Oh, they won't understand. They'll say, what? You're always preparing your heart. You're always going out and investing so much in the lives of those young people. Oh, what? Are you crazy or something? They might say, oh, with someone of your ability, your gifts and talents, what are you doing over there cleaning up the church this week, getting ready for the presbytery meeting? You're just a little too high above that. What are you doing? Are you crazy? They might say, what? You mean you're going to use your vacation time to go on a mission trip? Oh, they'd say, honey, child, I would be down in the Bahamas with my feet. You talking about you're going to South America. You're going over to Pittsburgh. You're going here and there with your vacation time. Are you crazy? That's what they say because they don't understand. Saints, it all depends on who is right. If it was Judas, the disciples, or Mary. Let's just agree flat out. Judas was wrong. Amen. Judas was wrong. And then let's go ahead and agree that the disciples, they too were wrong. But hallelujah, Mary was right. Mary was right. Mary was right. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We can never give too much of our time, our talents, our resources, our all in all for Jesus, for it ever to be a waste, because Jesus is worth it. And saints, just as in the house of Simon the leper that night, there are only three types of people in this sanctuary, in this room right now. There's three. Some here today are like Judas. And you have completely rejected Jesus. Your heart, you've let it be hard to the words and to the love he keeps sending to you and speaking to you. And to you, Jesus really offers you no meaningful help or anything. It's like, oh, that's something old. Oh, you know, I really, you know, don't want anything to do with Jesus. You've already decided that. There are others here today, like the disciples, which was the majority of the thought, and that's men and women of moderate devotion. You want a little bit of Jesus, but not too much of Jesus, but a little bit. Not enough to really change your life. Not, just a little bit. After all, there's no sense in just going nutty over Jesus and this Jesus stuff. Amen. Amen. And so this group gives Jesus their lukewarm, moderate, half-hearted, up and down devotion. And then, saints, there are some here today who are like Mary, who truly love the Lord Jesus and who cannot do enough, hallelujah, for their Lord and Savior, who are willing to give all they have and all they are for their Lord Jesus. No job for them is too demeaning. If we have to go in that bathroom and clean that overspilled toilet, we will do it for Jesus. We'll do it for, no job is so unimportant that we can't do it for Jesus. If it is for Jesus, hallelujah. Like Mary, there are some here today who have laid your life at the Master's feet. Praise God for you. And as we close today, I want us to say this about the disciples, to give them their due today. They did learn better, hallelujah. They did learn that Jesus was worth it, because we saw the disciples, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they did amazing, wonderful works for the Lord and Savior. Oh, praise God. After Peter was broken, he rose up to be the rock of the church. Praise God. They literally poured out their lives at the feet of Jesus. And guess what? We will learn better too. Amen. We will learn better too. Now, there's a chorus that we sing here at Glenville, and I can just hear Mary singing this as she's pouring this on his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. Worthy, Lord, worthy. We all have to make a decision today. We have to make a decision. Lord, I've been trying to do it my own way, but I choose you today. I want your way. I want you to come in and save me and transform me. And I want the life, Lord, that you have for me. There's no better life. So I want us, in response to the preached word of God today, that if you are willing to make that commitment to just let the Lord Jesus know, I'm going to stand with Mary. I'm going to follow her. And worthy, Lord, you are worthy, and I worship you. Worthy, Lord, we worship you. You are Jesus, and I worship you. We worship you today. Could you stand with us today? And if you would make this commitment to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you could take this moment and just worship him. Imagine yourself in that room, in this room now, and then you're just going to bow before him and give him your all, your worship, your praise, yourself. Let's sing together, saints.
Oh, worthy, you are worthy, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. Worthy.
We stand with Mary today.
King of kings, Lord of lords,
I worship you.
I worship you.
Raise your name. You're worthy, Lord.
Oh, worthy. You are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy.
Oh,
worthy. You are worthy. King of kings, Lord of lords,
we stand with Mary.
Jesus,
yes, Lord,
you are Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are Jesus, Jesus, you are Jesus,
I worship you,
King of kings, Lord of lords, I worship you.
Oh,